Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Ben Sorensen's Real Country Interviews, bringing you the stars of country.
Ben Sorensen here, and this is my Real Country. And joining me today is one of the... I call you country music royalty. I'm talking to Dwight Yoakam. Wow. G'day, mate. How are you?
And I'm from the colonies that stirred all the ruckus and kicked the royalty out. How can I ever thank you enough?
Well, I find you fascinating. Your story is amazing. I mean, I love your music, and we'll talk about that a bit later.
Thank you.
But your story. Now, I from listening to your music and reading about you, I would put you as a very, very intelligent man that views the world a little bit differently and backs his own horse so much that he doesn't take no for an answer.
That horse racing analogy, I'm going to think. I had a couple of horses I raced. I have one that went off at 81 odds and won at Hollywood Park one time, literally. So I've been very fortunate, Ben, that I've been able to have a career, made a living. That was a minor miracle. To be able to make a living or look at the prospect of making a living making music, for now the last 25, 26 years. And I've been able to do it on my own terms because, as fate would have it, I was with the right record label initially with Warner's when they signed my EP. They not only allowed, but they encouraged my maintaining my
artistic integrity.
My stance about my music being what I wanted to put forth at any given time.
It's great that Warner was there to support you because, in the early days with the new honky-tonk sound, the hillbilly music that you were doing, the establishment was sort of not as open and loving toward you as they probably should have been. But the thing I love is that you went outside of traditional country music channels to grow not only your own audience, but the audience for country music across the country.
Well, yeah, it happened by, again, as fate would have it. I went to Nashville for a time, and it was in 1976, 77, I left and came to California. I didn't spend much time, and I was there for, a month and a half, 2 months, kind of feeling it out, went back once, and then went back again in the early 80s and tried to, took a shot at presenting songs that I'd been writing in the interim couple of years from my first, pass there. But I realized on the first trip that, in retrospect now, I look back and realize that the town's business was different than live performance. It was about, the publishing companies and songwriting. And that was really the avenue in. If you look historically back to everybody from Roger Miller to Willie Nelson to Kris Kristofferson, you had guys who really, had their foothold established by being there and working for a publishing company as a songwriter and then evolving on their own to perform. And I was more about performing out of the gate. I was, I had a band, a rockabilly band out of high school, and then was really trying to find my way to be another voice, in a country rock vernacular. And that led me, a guitar playing buddy of mine, it was coming to the West Coast after I'd gone to Nashville for a couple months and came back and was kind of less enthusiastic about the possibilities there, especially for performance as an outlet. I left and went to the West Coast, and there's a great legacy of country music on the West Coast. One of the beacons that drew me to L.A. was Emmylou Harris, who was here all the way through the 70s and into the early 80s. And ironically, Emmylou was on Reprise Records, which was where I would ultimately wind up in terms of the actual imprint label from Warner Brothers. She was signed to Warner Records. So I was aware that Warner Brothers and Asylum and WEA had, that's what broke the Eagles. If you look back, it's Asylum Records, which was David Geffen, but it was still a Warner-connected, musical release. And I was always drawn to kind of the sound of the West Coast country rock movement and then Buck Owens and Merle Haggard, the hardcore honky-tonk music of the West Coast, which Chris Hillman and I've talked about. He tried to infuse in the Byrds when they did Sweetheart of the Rodeo album, and even before, and he brought Clarence White in. So there was this great kind of continuum of connection to a young audience on the West Coast that when I was in college, I was listening to in the early 70s and appealed to me, and I thought showed that country music could maintain its pertinence with a young audience. I spent 9 years, you know, from the time I arrived, driving, moving furniture, you know, for a living, driving air freight trucks, you know, all around L.A., and then trying to put bands together and find my way, you know, playing clubs first out in the outreaches of the Valley and in northern Los Angeles County, where all the hillbilly joints were.
Wow.
Between there and Bakersfield, and then later we broke into the rock and roll clubs about 1981, 82, when Pete Anderson and I began playing together. I said, I have an idea that there's a movement that's happening, and sure enough, it did take us in. You know, Pete and I talked about stopping. We didn't want to play covers of anything else. I didn't want to. I had quit doing that a year or two previous. I was doing, the covers I was doing were hardcore country covers, Bill Monroe, Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, early, middle Merle Haggard, Buck Owens stuff. And that wasn't what contemporary country nightclubs wanted to hear, the height of Urban Cowboy. And we took what I was doing, I went into the rock clubs with the band that I had, and we were, you know, embraced by what was then dubbed a cowpunk movement. It was a lot of kids that had formerly been punk rockers that decided they liked country music. And again, there was a great history and legacy of it in L.A. and in the West Coast because of the whole kind of okey-arky Texan migration that happened in the Dust Bowl and brought with them that music that Rose and the Maddox Brothers played, and all the way up through into the late 50s when somebody like Joe Mathus heard about a good band in Bakersfield, went up to see them one night and said they were good, but they were the loudest thing you ever saw, and it happened to be Buck Owens and the Schoolhouse Playboys. Before the Buckaroos at a club called The Blackboard, and he wrote Dim Lights, Thick Smoke, and Loud Loud Music about that band. I felt compelled to cover it as, again, an homage to what drew me to the West Coast. We did it a little bit different than Joe Mathus or Flatt and Scruggs' version or the other covers over the year. They were doing it more 2-2. And I thought, let's do it in our own spit-in-the-eye kind of spirit. And I think Buck would have got a kick out of it, and I hope Joe Mathus, who wrote it with his wife Rose, would also appreciate our version of it.
Spent some time in San Francisco. I spent a night there in the can. Lived through this drunk man in my jail cell. I took $15 from that man. Left him my watch and my old house key. Don't want folks thinking that I'd steal. And I thanked him as I was leaving. And I headed out for Bakersfield.
He is a wealth of information. So don't forget to check us out next week when we have part two of my interview with Dwight Yoakam.
Another Ben Sorensen Real Country Interview. Hear this interview and many more at www.realcountrymix.com.
The long and short of it, one of the country's best live duos have released their album Twin Flames on iTunes, featuring their popular original track, Robin.
Robin, you are so divine. Sparkling eyes and a glass of wine. Drenching sheep and chasing steers. Working hard with blood, sweat and tears.
And some covers with a country twist. Download the long and short of its album, Twin Flames, on iTunes. And be sure to visit their website, thelongandshortofit.com.au.
Hi, Jan. Oh, nice car.
Aussie Car Loans arranged the finance for me.
Aussie Car Loans? Did you get a good deal?
The best. Aussie Car Loans included a free buyer protection plan called Walk Away. Aussie Car Loans offers a safer way to borrow should my financial circumstances change.
Aussie Car Loans and Walk Away. Call today 1300 769 999 1300 769 999. Walk Away protection is issued by Swan Insurance, AFSL number 238292. For a copy of the PDS, contact Aussie Car Loans. Conditions apply.